Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey, dear fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 37 of The Law Entrepreneur. My name is Neil Tyra, and today I'm both host and guest as I bring you a conference wrap-up or a wrap-up show on MacTrack Legal, the lawyer conference that I attended down in Florida during the hurricane just last weekend. But before we get to that, let's do a little bit of housekeeping and indicate that today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Market Circle, makers of Daylight, a fantastic suite of Mac and iOS applications that help your small business grow, and by Spotlight Branding, helping to build your internet foundation. A couple of other points here. As I was talking to folks down at the conference, and we'll get to that in a little bit, I found out that a fair number of people don't recognize or don't realize that we have a website devoted just to The Law Entrepreneur, and you can visit that website at www.thelawentrepreneur.com. And the kind of things that we have on the website there are the actual episodes of this podcast that you can listen to directly. So if you're not able to subscribe via iTunes, which I hope you are, but if you find yourself in a, you know, maybe in the office, you don't have your cell phone with you or something that you've used to subscribe to the podcast and you have a few minutes and you want to listen to an episode, you can just go straight to the website, as I said, at www.thelawentrepreneur.com, and you can listen to the websites there. We also have a blog that we post articles to and a resources page that lists both some connections to our sponsors and some other affiliates, and just generally information that I think the law entrepreneur would want to know about on our resources page, as well as breaking news about the show and that kind of thing. In addition, we also have an email list that we have probably, I guess, about 75 subscribers to thus far. And you can subscribe to the email list on the website. There's a form that you can fill in your name and email address and subscribe that way. Or frankly, you can just send an email to me at neil@thelawentrepreneur.com. That's neil@thelawentrepreneur.com. And say you'd like to get added to the mailing list, and I'm happy to take care of that for you. The mailing list is not, you know, it's not anything that's too onerous. We do some advanced news articles there about things that are occurring on the show. I also use that resource to solicit opinions and input from the listeners and subscribers so as to be able to more accurately shape the future of the show so that it really doesn't meet the needs of those who are listening to it. We do a couple of fun contests, you know, nothing too onerous, and I'm not going to inundate you with email. It's normally one a week, and frankly, to be honest with you, I haven't been sending out that many emails to that list over the last couple, 3 weeks, so it's even less than that. But anyway, you can join the email list by going to the website and filling out the form or just emailing me directly at neil@thelawentrepreneur. So let's talk about the conference here, the MacTrack Legal 2016 conference, formerly known as Milo Fest. And if you've been a listener to the show here for a while, you'll know that we've mentioned this multiple times. And even had the founder of MacTrack Legal, Victor Medina, give us a preview of what to expect in a previous episode. frankly, I've been going to MacTrack Legal and its predecessor, MiloFest, for a number of years. We went around the room at the conference and indicated how many people have been there for how long. And I couldn't really remember the total number. I think there were eight. There have been 8 years worth of conferences, and I think I've only missed two. I know I missed the one last year, and I think I missed one before, some other one before that. But I think I've been to six out of eight. But there are plenty of people there who had been to all eight MacTrack Legal conferences. So as you know, this is a conference hosted by Victor Medina, and it's for Mac loving lawyers. And it's for attorneys who use Mac products, or more accurately, Apple products, including both the Mac, iPad, and iPhone. Now, there were quite a few folks there who are also Windows users. And in fact, as we'll talk about here, a number of the presentations were, I would say, either platform independent, meaning they discussed resources or features that exist in, quote, the cloud, you know, on the internet, service as a software as a service type implementation, or else they were with respect to applications that exist on both the Apple environment and the Windows environment. So things like Microsoft Office. So while it is nominally a conference that is primarily focused on Apple users, I can't say that if you were a Windows user that you wouldn't get a lot of value out of the conference. I think Victor does a great job in kind of mixing up the presentations so that that would be the case. And we'll kind of go through these here in a moment. But the big news regarding the conference was it was smack dab in the middle of Hurricane Matthew. So the conference starts on Thursday, October 6th, and the hurricane was literally off the coast of Florida that day and bearing down on the eastern seaboard. So there were a lot of concerns by folks about heading into a Category 4 hurricane. I took my chances. I was pretty confident that being a little further inland in Orlando, that we wouldn't have a whole lot of difficulty. I thought the biggest problem most likely would be an inability to get a flight out after the conference was over. But the way I looked at it, you know, if that was the case, so I'm holed up in Disney World. It could be worse. And that's not to make light of the difficulties that people had and the loss of life, obviously, that occurred as a result of the hurricane. It was a big storm. But frankly, in Orlando, not so much. I actually experienced more wind and rain when I got back here to Maryland after the conference. So that being said, the attendance was probably impacted to some degree by about a third, I would guess. I don't know. Victor would probably be able to shed light on that. There were fewer people in attendance to the conference, clearly as a result of the threat of the storm. But there were plenty who, you know, braved the weather, so to speak, and attended. So as I said, the conference started on Thursday, October 6th. It starts at noon. And so I took an early morning flight down out of Dulles and got down to Orlando, took the Magic Kingdom Express or Mickey's Express. Anyway, the bus from Orlando over to the Beach Club Resort on the Disney property. And I arrived about 15 minutes into the start of the program. So that wasn't too bad. And so let's go down our notes here and talk about what we saw. So after some introductory remarks from Victor, the first guy up was a gentleman who listeners will recognize his name. That's Brett Burney. Brett Burney was on our episode number 23, and Brett is an attorney out of the Midwest who is well-known in Mac circles. His primary gig during the day is he helps law firms and lawyers deal with the requirements of electronic discovery. But I think his real calling is he's a Mac nerd like the rest of us. And so Brett's presentation was entitled Mastering Copy and Paste. Now, you would think there's not a lot to learn about copy and paste. I mean, for goodness sakes, it's been around since the first operating system on the Mac and literally the first operating system on Windows, I suspect. The idea where you can copy text or copy some other type of information from one location and paste it somewhere else. Well, the fact of the matter is that whole workflow has evolved over the years. And so Brett went into great detail about different nuances of the copy and paste operation, including keyboard equivalents and how you can do that without using the mouse or trackpad, things like that. And he also went over in great detail the application and use of some third-party clipboard managers. And I'll go over just a couple of these here. One of them was called Paste. It's an application that's available through the Mac App Store. And I think it goes for something like $10 or just under $10. It's a clipboard manager that will allow you to have multiple copies of items on your clipboard or multiple pages of things, multiple clips, if you will, on your clipboard instead of just the latest thing you copied or cut. And how to manage that and organize and sort it and paste from different locations on that clipboard. It's a really robust little application, and Brett's presentation of it, of course, was outstanding. He also took a look at a similar product called Copied. Again, Copied is available on the Mac App Store. I think it's a little cheaper than Paste and maybe doesn't have quite as many features, but kind of generally does the same thing. So listening through Brett's presentation, I mean, he's just such an engaging speaker and a great personality, just so much fun to listen to. I will tell you that I picked up a couple of little tips here that I'm almost embarrassed to share, so maybe that makes them even more interesting. One was Brett showed us a keyboard equivalent to automatically go to the print PDF sheet on your Mac. So, you know how when you select the print command, either from the menu or using the keyboard equivalent, which is the holding down the command key and hitting the letter P at the same time, it'll take you to the print menu. Well, if you do that twice in a succession, command P, command P, if you will, it takes you right to the PDF generation sheet. So it saves you a whole step. That doesn't sound like a big deal for most people, but I tell you what, it was for me, little nerd, and I was thrilled to learn that little tip, and I've shared it with a few folks since I got back and people who weren't aware of it. So that was kind of fun to hear from Brett. And then having learned that tip, I had to actually confide, and probably did so in too loud a voice because lots of people heard this, but I had to confide that, Brett does this thing, and several of the presenters do it, such that when they hit some kind of keyboard equivalent and an application switcher bar appears in the middle of their screen and they're able to switch from one application to another, and that always fascinated me. I never knew how to do that, and I never really thought to ask, and this seemed like an appropriate time, but again, I asked in a stage whisper that everybody overheard, and I was immediately ordered to turn in my Mac credentials, because apparently the command tab keyboard equivalent to bring up that application switcher has been around forever, and being a self-professed Mac fanboy, it's a little embarrassing that I didn't know that, but I'm now thrilled to know, and so I will use it on a frequent basis. So command tab, it brings up that application switcher. And next we went to a new presenter, Katie, for the day, Katie Floyd. Those of you who listen to the podcast will remember that we had David Sparks on episode 26. And David and Katie together are the hosts of a very popular podcast called Mac Power Users. And in fact, as I confided in the podcast with David, that was the first podcast I subscribed to and the first one I listened to on a regular basis. And I listen to it every week since. They usually come out on Sunday with their episode. And Katie is a recognized Mac expert, not just around here, but literally around the world. The breadth of their podcast is so broad that she literally is known around the world. So I was thrilled to meet her a couple of years ago, the first time I went to MacTrack Legal, and even more so this time around, because it turns out that Katie has recently embarked on the journey of becoming a solo practitioner herself. And much to my surprise and great delight, she indicated that she has, in fact, listened to our podcast, The Law Entrepreneur, at length. And so I'm just, you know, tickled pink that that's the case. And we agreed that she needs to come on board, or I would love to have her come on board as a guest here shortly, and I hope to make that happen. But in any case, Katie spoke about mastering PDF, a PDF masterclass. And again, if you've listened to Mac Power Users, you know that both Katie and David are huge PDF users, and they use a lot of tools to enhance and annotate and update PDF files. So Katie went over a number of different applications. I'll just point out a couple of them. PDF Pen by Smile Software. You might recognize that they are a sponsor of Mac Power Users. But PDF Pen is an application that allows you, as we said, to mark up, to annotate, to otherwise engage with and use PDF documents. She also went through PDF Expert, which is a similar type program by Riedel Software, something of a competitor of PDF Pens. So it was interesting to compare and contrast the features of those two applications. Both of them are available in the App Store as well. And PDF Pen certainly has versions that work on both the iPad and the iPhone. And it was great to see how Katie demonstrated all those capabilities, or each capability on each platform for both applications. I generate PDFs for sure, and I exchange PDF files with other attorneys. I don't do a lot with annotating them. So I haven't myself figured out a workflow or a necessity to do a lot with PDF files, but lots of folks do. And it was great learning experience to see just what kind of magic can be performed by somebody who knows what they're doing with an application like that, that has such capabilities. One of the other things she pointed out was a tool called Bronson Watermark. Bronson, B-R-O-N-S-O-N, Bronson Watermark. And this is a tool that adds watermarks to your PDF documents. So, for instance, when I want to go and forward a draft of a document to opposing counsel or maybe even to a client, I want to make sure that everyone knows that that's a draft and they don't actually walk away with that document and believe it's in final form or maybe use it for themselves. So a watermark is, you've seen it, where it's kind of a grayed out word across the paper. It might say draft, it might say preliminary, or you could say just about anything you want. So this Bronson Watermark application was a tool for applying those to PDF documents. And not only does it add these watermarks, but it also makes it difficult for the receiver to take that PDF and run it through an optical character recognition software package, such as Adobe Acrobat Pro, and turn it into an editable word processing document. So the watermark is what we'd say a hard to remove watermark. So that was really interesting. And that wasn't the first or last interesting thing that Katie had to share with the group. So after our PDF masterclass, the next presenter up was Mark Metzger. Mark is an attorney from Naperville, Illinois, and he was presenting on the topic of Automation Nation. And Mark is a longtime Apple Mac nerd who takes it as a personal goal of his to automate every process he possibly can within his law firm. And in fact, he confided that he resisted hiring staff for the longest of time because he felt like he could automate so many functions that he would make the need for staff, you know, to be so much less that he wouldn't have to hire. Anyway, what he did was he showed this just tremendous program where he used an application called FileMaker Pro, which is a relational database. And frankly, I used FileMaker Pro way back in its original incarnation before it was actually a relational database, when it was a flat file database for those of you who are database aficionados. But anyway, FileMaker Pro, and he showed how he uses that to create forms overlaid on top of PDF documents or else other word processing documents, so that he would able to collect information one time and use the database and the form to populate that information throughout the document. So for instance, part of his practice is a robust real estate transaction firm. So they have to prepare a lot of deeds and the like. And there's a lot of repetitive information in the preparation of those documents. So he uses a form to collect the information one time in one spot, and then the database populates the deed or the document, the end document, sort of like a mail merge, but a little different, and populates the documents with the attributes, the variables, if you will. And it just was fascinating to watch what he did. And he got heavily into string manipulation or string theory, where you are able to use almost arithmetic techniques to combine text strings. So when we talk about strings, we're talking about text strings. So we would be able to combine text strings and to perform operations on those text strings to meet the complex needs of the document generation. So just a fascinating discussion by Mark on automating techniques. And it's really kind of interesting to see just how much work he's able to get out of the computer and save man hours. And look, let's face it, you save man hours, you increase your profitability. And in the end, isn't that what we're all interested in doing? So that was it for the first day. We went on to have a nice dinner all together and had our fingers crossed as the hurricane approached during the evening. And the parks had closed down. So the hotels were full of families and hoping that the hurricane wouldn't be too difficult to deal with. And it turned out it wasn't. But anyway, that was the end of the first day. And we reconvened the following morning on Friday, October 17th or 7th. And first man up was Tom Lambot, who, again, you might remember was a guest on our show back on episode 16. And Tom is the CEO of a company that provides IT support for Apple-based users, Apple-based systems. And he spent his time at the conference speaking about security issues. So his talk was entitled Operating Securely in an Insecure World. And Tom is an expert here, spent a lot of time, as you can imagine, because he has to provide security, secure implementations for all of his clients. And so, again, for me as a solo practitioner with one computer, my security needs are not as robust as that of a multi-user law firm. But there are certainly things that he had to offer that were important for me to consider, and I think all solos to consider. One is to add two-factor security to your logins where you're able to do that. So two-factor security is kind of, I wouldn't say it's new, but it hasn't been around a long time. And basically that's where, and you might have seen it in some other cases where you put in a password and then the system does something else, sends you a code to your phone or sends you an email to an address that you provide or some other way of authenticating that you are the right person to be entering that one password. So it's basically a two factors that have to be provided in order to secure the login. And I haven't implemented that. I need to look at the opportunity to do so in as many places as I can, because it really is a simple thing to do. You know, for me personally, I'm not very far from my iPhone. So logging in on a computer somewhere and having a text message sent with a code to my iPhone in order to complete the login process is not that onerous and provides for that extra level of security that we all need. And there were other things that Tom talked about. He talked about how important it is to make sure that your backups are encrypted. You know, I have, as many people do, I have a hard drive that does a snapshot backup or a duplicate backup of my hard drive on which all my data is stored, does so every night. Well, you want to make sure that the backup on that external hard drive is encrypted. So if somebody came in and took your hard drive, they couldn't walk away with all your client data and compromise that information. So that's another kind of a little hint, a little nugget of information that you get at these types of conferences. And I'm not giving Tom proper due for how technical and how involved his presentation was about operating securely in an insecure world, but suffice it to say, it crossed a lot of T's and dotted a lot of I's. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. As I mentioned, I use Daylight as my case management tool, as it organizes all my cases, clients, my calendar, to-dos, emails, all in one app. And it's with me everywhere because it's on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. If I get a call from a client when I'm out of the office, I can quickly pull up the details of the case on my iPhone and then jot down some notes after the call, and it's all organized in Daylight. I use Daylight by myself on my own, but you can also use it in a team. You can track the status of cases, delegate tasks between one another, and check everyone's calendars, all without having to interrupt anyone or dig through papers. It really streams your workflow so you can work more efficiently. Managing email is a big part of how Daylight helps me. It integrates with Apple Mail, so as I'm going through my emails, I can just click and save emails to a client or to a case. That way, when I'm looking at the case details, I can see a history of all the emails with the client or any notes that I've taken and follow-ups with them all in one spot. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. In addition, I want to tell you about my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They build a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. And this helps me generate more referrals and more business for my firm. Their services are designed to help lawyers get better results out of the resources they're already investing into marketing and business development. They create an internet foundation that makes all of your marketing work better. That's because these days, almost every potential client is going to check out your web presence before they hire you. It's important that you create a strong first impression. And that's what Spotlight Branding has done for me, and they can do it for you too. So visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for our podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE. And after that came Victor Medina, who gave what for me was the most personally valuable presentation. It was called Writing a Book to Grow and Market Your Practice. Writing a book as a marketing tool has been on my list of things to do for 4 or 5 years. And frankly, it was actually Tom Lambott, the previous speaker, who, like I said, 4 or 5 years ago when I went to Milo Fest, he gave me a book, and I'm actually holding it here in my hand. It's called Hassle-Free Mac IT Support. It's a little paperback book that Tom produced way back when. And I remember him telling me that producing that book was the single greatest marketing tool, marketing product that he ever generated. And he used it as an extended business card. And I put that on my list of things to do, like I said, way back then. Well, Victor went through the step-by-step process about how to generate a similar type book for your practice. And it was just mind-blowing how brilliant his approach was to generating the book using existing content as well as a couple of tools and platforms that you can use. And I'll let Victor tell you about those rather than divulge that here on the show. But basically, it's just a platform that you can sign on to and become a member that allows you to do kind of drop shipping. So you write the book, and this company called CreateSpace will print 1 or 1,000 or 100,000 copies of your book, and so it makes the production of the book, you know, straightforward and really easy. And one of the things that Victor did at the end of his presentation, and he gave everybody a little worksheet, and the worksheet was titled My Next Book. And everybody, having listened to his, as I said, brilliant presentation about how to go about generating a book, then went through the process of filling in this worksheet that he had. Now, if you're like me, you know, when people start handing out worksheets to be done in a conference like this, I usually kind of roll my eyes, and because I'm a curmudgeon and I just don't like to play along. But this one was different. And I got to tell you, I was so inspired by Victor's presentation that I did this worksheet. I did it like just started in the top left-hand corner, worked my way to the bottom right-hand corner, and literally within the space of about 5 minutes, was all we had to do the worksheet and discuss it with our neighbor, I had the plan done for my next book. So I'm really excited. It's been on my list of things to do for 4 years, and now having gone to MacTrack Legal and listening to Victor, I think I have a path here to make this happen. So very excited about that. After that, we had Brett Burney come back up, and Brett went into a discussion about OneNote for Mac lawyers, parenthetically titled More Devil Worship, because OneNote is a product by Microsoft, and I'm going to reveal my own prejudice here. I have sworn off Microsoft products. I did so a long time ago. I originally used all Microsoft products on my Mac. So I used Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and used them extensively in my previous life as a software engineer and software manager. We used all the Mac products. But then Microsoft stopped developing for the Mac unilaterally. I think they felt there was a point there where Apple was on its heels and they didn't want to devote the resources to continuing to develop the products for the Mac environment. And they stopped doing so. And that's when I dropped Microsoft as a vendor personally and adopted all of the Apple products, Pages, Numbers, and Keynote as corresponding applications to what was then called Microsoft Office, still called Microsoft Office. So when Brett went to talk about using OneNote, I was a little leery of how valuable that would be to me. OneNote is an application for, as you might suspect, taking notes. It's a note-taking application made by Microsoft that works in the Microsoft Office suite or with the Microsoft Office suite of products. And Brett went through an extensive discussion about the capabilities and features of OneNote. And, you know, despite my prejudice against Microsoft products, I have to admit that it looks like a fantastic tool. And I can see a lot of value in using OneNote. Now, I have been a user of Evernote. Evernote was a free product and also had a paid version. And now they've changed their pricing strategy. They've gone to a subscription service. You can still keep the free product, but it now is only can be used on two devices. So you can have Evernote, say, on your Mac and on your iPad, or on your iPhone and your iPad, but you can't have them on all three. And I use all three tools interchangeably, so that's not going to work for me. And to be honest, I've been kind of disenchanted with Evernote for a little while as their focus seemed to be lost and they added a whole bunch of features and kept changing the interface. It seemed like every other week. So when they went to their new pricing structure, I took the opportunity to migrate over to Apple's Note application, which comes with your Mac, which was recently, I think, either with El Capitan. I think it was in the El Capitan version of the new operating system was upgraded and modified to the point that it was much more like OneNote or Evernote. And so I migrated all of my notes from Evernote to Apple Notes. But I got to tell you, it's not perfect, and it doesn't have as many capabilities, as many bells and whistles. You're not able to organize the notes as well as you can in OneNote. And Brett went through some really great scenarios and examples of how you may want to switch to OneNote. So I'm going to have to give that some thought. I don't know. We'll see. After Brett's discussion on OneNote, Mark Mesker got back up again. And this time he talked about something that had nothing to do with Apple products or computers. His presentation was called Mindfulness for Non-Hippies and Starched Collars. And Mark went through a discussion of his personal journey into the world of meditation and mindfulness, as it's now somewhat referred to, and talked about its history and then its benefits, health benefits, psychological benefits, mental health benefits, and then led our group through a guided meditation practice, about 10, 15 minutes worth of meditation. Now, frankly, I've been involved in meditation for a long time. I'm old, so I remember back in the 70s, Transcendental Meditation was my first exposure to that. And then as a practicing martial artist for 25 years as a teacher, meditation was part of our standard routine in the dojo. So this was kind of old hat for me. It was really interesting to see how many people really valued and really got something out of Mark's presentation, because it was really very good. And people enjoyed taking that little 10-minute guided meditation tour. So Mark did a great job with that. And then we wrapped up the day on Friday with the Ultimate Gear Off panel. So this had Brett and Katie and Victor and another gentleman, Evan Klein. And they'd broken the presentation down into, I think, 8 or 9 different categories. And each one of them presented or showed off or demonstrated their favorite piece of gear, whether it be their favorite tripod type thing, or their favorite backpack or briefcase or power strip, or it just really, it was kind of a moving show of accessories for the technology geek, and just created an endless list of things to put on your wish list, items to put on your wish list to buy. And probably was the most expensive part of the presentation, listening to all of that. So that was great. So we were on our own after that, Friday, October 7th. Just a couple more points here. We reconvened Saturday morning. And first guy up was Mark Powers. Mark is with Atticus Lawyers, and they're a lawyer coaching firm. And Mark discussed the income paradox. And he handed out a worksheet, and his whole discussion focused on that worksheet. Basically, it was called the strategic pathway and how to go from the great lawyer stage to the market leader stage. And I've heard Mark speak before, and I've heard his partner, Steve Riley, speak before on this subject. It was fascinating. He's just such a engaging speaker, is Mark. And you look through the process, and basically the general premise of his presentation is that in order to build a law firm into a money-making and legacy-producing entity, the founding member or the principal partner, if you will, has to do less and less legal work, and ultimately less and less work altogether. The idea is to empower others, to train others, and to create systems that would take you through the various stages to success. And it's a great presentation, and it's a great theory, and it's worked for many, many of his clients. So if you get a chance to listen to Mark Powers or Steve Riley from Atticus talk about the income paradox, it's well worth your time. I'll point out that one of the things that they do is just kind of give you a sense of what they're talking about, is that if you're the head of your law firm, their goal is for you to ultimately take 175 days off a year. And that's including weekends and holidays, but 175 days. And then he challenges their clients to get to that point. So I thought that was an eye-opener for sure. After Mark came Evan Klein. Evan talked about a product called Workflows, and the presentation was Workflows and Tools for the Mobile Lawyer. And what Workflows allows you to do, along with other programs such as Zapier, Zapier, they allow you to string together the actions of multiple applications to create a workflow, hence the name Workflow, in order to increase productivity and automation. And Evan is just brilliant at putting together these pieces to allow, as I said, this improved productivity. And again, just like Mark Metzger talking about automation, the improved productivity is saving you money. and saving you money is all about becoming more profitable. So Evans was a really interesting presentation. And last but not least came Larry Port. And Larry is the CEO of Rocket Matter. And he was a guest on our show way back. I think he's one of the earlier ones. I have to look it up. But while I'm thinking about it, so Larry's presentation was your one-page annual strategic growth plan. And Larry took us through, Larry was way back in episode 14. So that was a while ago. So go back and listen to Larry. So the strategic growth plan was using a tool that that Larry suggested that you obtain from a service called Gazelles, I believe, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E-S, Gazelles, Inc. And it was their one-page business plan. I think you can download it for free from their website. But he walked us through how his company, Rocket Matter, does this annual strategic growth plan, and, of course, every year. And it's interesting to see how a company like Rocket Matter would put the whole company through this planning process. They typically use a coach to help facilitate the activity, but they get their whole strategic plan on a single sheet of paper. It's double-sided, but a single sheet of paper. And I've been involved in those kind of strategic planning retreats where the company goes away and ends up producing a 200-page document, that people put on the shelf and nobody ever pays attention to. But Larry was showing how you can actually encapsulate your strategic plan on a single sheet of paper and how they took parts of the plan and blew them up into large display placards that they mounted around the office to keep the goals and objectives and other types of strategic pieces of information available and present and clearly visible to the whole staff. So that was cool to listen to. He is a great, another really cool speaker, very dynamic, very energetic. And, you're at the end of a 2.5-day conference and it's usually like the worst spot to be, I think, sometimes as the last speaker, but Larry seems to be always up for that task and occupies that spot frequently. And he just brings the show to a really strong close. So he didn't fail to deliver again this year. So, and that concluded the conference. So I really urge all of you, and I know I'm probably beating a dead horse here, but I really urge all of you, if you have an opportunity, go to the 2017 MacTrack Legal Conference. It's about the same time next year. We'll certainly announce the dates. In fact, I'm probably giving them to you here in a couple seconds. It's well worth your time and effort. It's just a great bunch of people. The camaraderie is great. And as I said, I'm not so sure that even if you're not an Apple fanboy like me, that you won't get something out of this. I mean, certainly the PDF class that Katie shared or the operating securely in an insecure world that Tom Lambat presented, or writing the book presentation by Victor, or OneNote by Brett Burney, or the mindfulness and meditation discussion by Mark Metzger, and the income paradox, and frankly, the strategic growth plan. I mean, look, that's half, if not more, of the conference. And you don't have to be a Mac user, an Apple user, to have benefited from those discussions. So I really do urge you, if you have the chance next year, to come to the conference. It is going to be October 19th through the 21st. So it's Thursday the 19th through Saturday the 21st. And we get started around noon on Thursday and finish noon on Saturday. So it doesn't occupy your whole weekend. And it's just great fun. And I got a ton out of it, only a fraction of which I've been able to share with you today. But anyway, that was Mac Track Legal for 2016. So we'll finish up here with a little treat. At the end of the conference, I was able to do some live recordings of the observations of some of the attendees. I asked them their name, where they're from, their practice area, and what was the one thing that they learned at Mac Track Legal that was worth the price of admission. And you'll hear their responses now.
Hi, this is Margaret Keevney. I'm a healthcare lawyer at Keevney & Strieger in Princeton, New Jersey. I would say the one thing that made it totally worthwhile, besides just meeting the people and being able to talk to people who feel the same way about working with Max in the law firm, would be the mindfulness presentation, which clarified that it's not having your mind empty that's important. It's exercising the process of emptying your mind that helps get mindful.
So it's not that I start there because I know
will you come back?
Definitely.
Hi, this is Brett Burney at Mac Track Legal, formerly known as MiloFest. It's so hard to actually remember how to say the new name, but it's always fantastic. What I love so much about this conference is that it has such a huge nerd factor from the technology side, but so many other great things also that just sort of surrounding the practice of law or even running a business. And for me, where the takeaway this year wasn't so much, again, on the technology side, but Victor had a fantastic presentation on how he, his workflow on developing how he wrote a book, and even just had a little practice session for us on the document on like what the topic is we could write. It's almost like we had no excuses. We had to like write down what our thoughts were and what our outline was, and that's my greatest takeaway. I just really enjoyed going through that little practice exercise that he had for us.
Will you come back again?
Absolutely. I think I've been coming almost every Milo Fest. I don't want to miss them. I missed one, but I did it. I sort of remoted in my presentation, so it was still great then too.
And Stephen Hampton from Dover, Delaware. My practice is primarily personal injury. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've been to one of the Mac or Milo conferences. Enjoyed it very much. It is difficult to say what the most important thing was that we learned. Some of the security tips that we learned earlier on were very helpful, and I think we'll implement some of those, including kind of the urging to go to password.
Yeah.
One word.
One password.
One password.
Yeah.
Some of the things like that we think we absolutely have to implement, and I think that'll be very helpful to us.
Will you come back again?
If we can, absolutely.
Hi, I'm Mark Cowan, practicing in Morristown, Tennessee, with Swanson and Cowan. We're a two-man firm, and I attended this year. I've been here every year, all 8 years, but this year I really enjoyed Brett Burney's presentation, and I know that if there are 10 apps that do a specific function, he'll know the best one.
Yep.
So I like to pick Brett's brain and see what the best of the best are out there.
Perfect. You want to do the same thing?
I'm Rick Swanson from Morristown, Tennessee. I've been to MiloFest now, Mac Track Legal, for the last 7 years. I'm an estate planning attorney, and my practice is forms-driven, and each year, I come away with invaluable tips on how to automate my forms, and Mark Metzger gave a lecture this year on called Automation Nation, which was right up my alley with regard to how to simplify my forms and to allow my computer to do a lot more of the work for me and eliminate the repetitive keystrokes.
Will you come back for another year?
I'll keep coming back each year for every year they do this, because it pays for itself in efficiency and keeping up with technology.
Morning, Christensen from Manitoba, Canada. I do primarily transactional work, dealing with corporate commercial, particularly with our farming clients. On Katie Floyd's presentation on the PDF masterclass, the most useful part, we all use PDFs, but we do not use them as well as we can. And it certainly is an incredibly important feature in anybody's practice these days.
Will you come back again?
Absolutely. This is my third time. Each time I come, I learn something that I add to the knowledge base.
Perfect. No.
Hi, this is Steve Sinens. I'm from St. Petersburg, Florida. I am the office admin for Clarity Law Offices in St. Petersburg. I would say attending MyLegal for the last 6 or 7 years, there have been many great takeaways. This was a new one this year, sharing attorney mindfulness from one of the presenters. It was really insightful. It gave me another look at how I can stop in my day, take time, regroup, and think about things and just be, which is quite calming and actually can be effective. And winds up making you overall productive, not just in your day, but in your life.
Were you familiar with the app that he was talking about, Headspace?
I was. I had been exploring Calm, and I hadn't heard Headspace yet. But some of the other apps I actually had on my iPhone and had started using. But
will you come back again?
Oh, definitely.
Jeff Alford, Paducah, Kentucky. I practice primarily divorce and child custody litigation. The thing that I got out of MacTrack Legal was actually motivation to finish the book project that I've been working on for a year. And so I'm pretty excited about that. We should have that out by December.
Was it specifically the motivation or the path towards finishing the book that Victor talked about?
A little bit of both, actually. I actually started the project about a year ago, actually contacted an editor, and then just let it kind of die on the vine. And while here, I actually got motivated, recontacted my editor, got her paid, got her the initial notes so that she can start going through that, and offered her a bonus, as Victor recommended, to have it done by December 1. So.
We'll be looking for it then.
I'm Evan Klein from New York, Pennsylvania, and I practice personal injury law. And the biggest takeaway I've got from MacTrack Legal was Mark Metzger showed us all how he uses FileMaker to automate repetitive tasks, and that's something I think we can all take as part of our practice and be more efficient.
Perfect. Will you be back again?
Most definitely.
Yeah. How close does this need to go? My name is Mark Metzger. I practice law in Naperville, Illinois, and our focus is principally on real estate and estate planning and elder law. My big takeaway from the 2016 MacTrack Legal is how ridiculously easy it is to publish a book and to use that to exploit and grow and build your practice.
A number of people have pointed to Victor's presentation as being really worthwhile, myself included.
It's one of those real eye-opening experiences that once you get exposed to what the process is, that the conception you had in your mind of how difficult and involved and expensive and tedious it was just got completely blown away, and it was revealed to be a ridiculously simple series of steps.
Right.
Shelley Hampton from Dover, Delaware. I'm the office manager, business manager from my husband's law firm. The reason I came is just to get some direction as to which way to head to get our office heading in the right path to make things more uniform and organized, and the different apps and everything that we learned here at least gave me a direction to head to start figuring out what I should be learning, what I should be passing on to the staff to make things run more smoothly in our office.
Did any one thing stick out to you?
I think the Automation Nation was the one I was really looking for. We want to try to get a lot of our forms more automated, so they're easier to fill in. Everybody's working on the same thing. As it is now, one paralegal has one system, another paralegal has another system. So I wanted to learn how to get those on the right path, and I wasn't exactly sure what software or what was kind of the best direction. I've checked a bunch of them out, but it gave me some direction into hitting into File Pro or FileMaker Pro.
Again?
Yeah.
Great.
I'd love to come back.
Hi, I'm Russ Cochran. I'm from Oklahoma City. My area of practice is criminal law, and this is my 8th Milo Fest / MacTrack Legal. I've been to all of them so far. Every year I carry away something that I can use. I always like the tech stuff. the presentations by Katie and then by Evan Klein.
His workflow
stuff, and I believe that was my best takeaway on using mobile workflows and how to link
apps together to accomplish an objective.
Absolutely, and I want to take that and implement that in the way I do my business. So,
great, will you be back next year?
Plan on it.
Great.
Plan to make 9 in a row.
So, Victor, this is your 8th MacTrack Legal or MiloFest?
It is.
And will there be a 9th?
There will absolutely be a 9th.
So tell me, what did you find about this conference that continues to get your juices flowing such that there will be a 9th?
Well, there's two things. The first is we had to suffer through battening down the hatches for Hurricane Matthew, which didn't turn out to be too much of an impact on the conference. But what I learned was that the people who come to this are resilient and friendly and people I would want to be locked into a hotel overnight. So that's one thing that I got out of it. The second thing is that the programming often has to continue to evolve and update because we get so many people who come back multiple years. So the challenge that they bring to me by continuing to want to come and agreeing to pay money and come to these conferences, you know, that for me is the next thing that I want to do for 9th year, right? I want to continue to serve them by giving them programming that encourages to come back and it isn't stale at all.
Does it still get your juices flowing? Do you still get something out of it personally?
I do. You know, the program was originated by me thinking through what is a conference that I would want to go to, and then I invited friends and thought they might want to do it too. That principle still is there. So when I organize the conference for next year, it will be based on what do I want to see. I do have to serve the people that are coming in here, but we've done well by saying if it's something that I want to attend, then other people want to attend as well. So I still want to go to a conference next year, and so I'm going to come back to the conference that I'm going to design.
Great. Well, I'll be back again next year, and thank you for having it this time around.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for coming.
So we'll wrap up here again by once again thanking our friends at Market Circle, makers of Daylight. Daylight, as we said, is a fantastic suite of Mac and iOS applications that help your small business grow. And Daylight was represented as one of the vendors down at the show. And I'm in the guy who always goes to MacTrack and represents Market Circle, and he's a great guy. So it was just fun to see him. And Spotlight Branding. You know, Spotlight Branding helps you to build your internet foundation. As you know, I use them extensively. They handle my social media, my email marketing, and my website. And, you know, I couldn't be more pleased to recommend and highly promote Spotlight Branding. So I want to thank both, as I said, Market Circle and Spotlight Branding for being sponsors of this week's show. And remind you to visit our website at www.thelawentrepreneur.com, where you can listen to our episodes and read our blog and, you know, catch up on our news, and also sign up for our email list. You can do that on the website, or you can send me an email at neil@thelawentrepreneur.com, and we'll get you added to the email list and you'd be part of the law entrepreneur community. So thanks again for putting up with my rambling today. I hope I wasn't too boring, and that this episode is something that you got some value out of. And we look forward to seeing you again next time at The Law Entrepreneur. Thanks so much.